That the case of the co-defendant here, Mr. Martinez, has been submitted on the brief. Okay. And we now move to the final case of the day, which is Meehan versus Hunt. Mr. Amu.
May it please the court. My name is Lanri Amu, last name AMU. I represent the appellant, Mr. Bigger Nihan, in this case. Counsel. Your Honors, this case presents and crystallizes a serious societal issue in this country, issues of minority rights. It is my belief that if all men be true to conscience, we must all agree that multiracial democracy must necessarily connote multiracial jury. Not an all-white jury on a dispute that pits white versus black on a race issue. The jury system in this country has been for over 100 years, and it's a great system. It works well for the most part on most issues and all issues. But we must be true to self and true to conscience. It has its flaws. And the flaw became crystal clear in this case of the plaintiff appellant, Mr. Bigger Nihan, who sued J.B. Hunt Company concerning race issue. He allegedly was discriminated by agents of J.B. Hunt Transportation Company, including the white supervisor. We went to trial. The plaintiff presented his case, 6 witnesses, multiracial people, mostly black. The defendant came with just a white supervisor, and we were faced with 8 jurors, all white men and women. With all due respect, all men and women are created equal. We must not only say that, we must, as creatures of God, mean what we say. I have often heard it said that all the law that I really need to live in life I can find in the Ten Commandments. And also say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, do unto others, love your neighbor as yourself. An all-white jury sitting on such a case is an affront to the minority, in case the majority may not know that. It is a serious flaw in our system. It undermines the integrity of what we are saying. It challenges us whether we really say what we mean or what we really mean what we say. When a black man comes to this country and to this courthouse as a citizen of this country and complains, and I was discriminated against by a white person, this is an issue of white versus black. Fundamental fairness requires that the government take on a fair role. Courts instituted by government make sure the systems are fair to the minority. The system we went through in this case is not fair to the minority. It was a sham. It reveals a flaw in this system vis-a-vis race issue. And I must say this very clearly. Judge Anderson is a nice judge, a perfect judge. I have no flaw in him. The 8 white people that came to decide this case, men and women, before God and man, I have no flaw in them. But that's totally besides the issue. It's not a personal issue. It's a systemic fundamental flaw that we are bringing up as human beings, as people of humanity, because it's not about race or color. say, if what the issue of race in our society that has gone on for perplexing hundreds of years in this country, the drive to free the black man, if we are going to address it, then in fact the history so far has shown us that it's been a failure, because you know we have the emancipation of us black people, but hundreds of years the problem persists. So in a sense, I feel the obligation in representing this person to crystallize this issue. My opponent argues that I was not denied an opportunity to voir dire the jurors. In a sense, that is not true. In my starting out voir diring the jurors, I had gone straight to the issue of a race to really confront it, but it was too brash, and the judge made that known. It's on the record. But I must say that that's really not the issue. There was no way, even if I was given 24 hours to voir dire those jurors on the issue of race, that is besides the issue. There is a better way to normalize for race in the jury system and make the court system work for black people or for Hispanic people or whatever what it is. Just make it work in a way that we can say, I can have confidence that if something happens to me on the street, I can come in here. My government has instituted this thing.
Let me ask confidence. You, let me ask you Absolutely. A question here before we get too emotional on this case. Did you, or was the question of the composition of this jury, any objections to the composition of this jury raised at any time before the case was over?
No, I did not raise it.
All right, so that means that if you try the case and you got a verdict in your favor, that's fine. But if you tried it and lost, then you have this issue that you want to argue about. We ordinarily require under our system of law that objections be raised at the earliest possible opportunity because maybe the judge would correct or make an adjustment to the jury panel based on your argument. I'm not saying that the judge would have done that, but he has absolutely no opportunity to consider your impassioned plea here if it was never made when the jury was selected.
May I respond?
Sure.
Oh, you're right. I didn't make it, but Judge, as I said, I began to voir dire the jury addressing the issue of race in a very, very frank way. The judge didn't like that. And Judge, I don't have, I guess I've studied too much in my life that I don't see that far. I don't have 20/20 vision. And actually, the issue of the composition, I was so embroiled in the facts of my client's case that before Goderman, I did not even notice the racist the fact of that I was arguing a case with an all-white jury until we were actually in the midst of the case. I actually was a witness that brought it to my attention that why is the jury all-white? All of a sudden, I changed my glasses, came to the court, and I approached closer to look at these people, and I saw everybody's white. That was like the second or third day of trial before God and man, because to some extent the facts of the case sometimes you're not going about saying this person is racist, this person is black or white. Before God and man, I didn't have that in my mind. That was not the issue. But the moment it was brought to my attention, the second or third day of trial, it became very stark, and I argued it in my closing. The best we could. But it doesn't, in fact, it's in fact better. Because it now crystallizes the issue. I think if something had been done, the issue would not have been clear as it is right now, in my view. So
you might want to save a little bit for rebuttal.
I will. Thank you.
Mr. Kearney.
May it please the court, counsel. Your Honor, we, in our brief, I'm Thomas Kearney, representing J.B. Hunt. I represented J.B. Hunt at the trial of this case also. In our brief, we presented a number of particular issues why the verdict below ought to be affirmed. The counsel has made a very strong policy argument here, not addressing the fact that the assertion that the jury was all white is merely an oral representation, not addressing the fact that there was no time we challenged to the selection process under the Jury Selection Procedure Act, not addressing the issue that this is not a Batson case, there was no activity by anybody to exclude blacks, there was no systematic exclusion of blacks from the jury. But the policy argument the counsel makes is, it seems to me, worth addressing. I agree with counsel that slavery and the vestiges thereof, racial discrimination, the stereotypical generalizations that have inhabited this country for so many years is one of the blights that we face. And the courts have struggled with that issue for over 150 years. There was a time when systematic exclusion existed with respect to blacks on the grounds that they weren't deemed capable of being trusted with the vote. They weren't allowed to own property. They weren't deemed bright enough to be educated with white kids. They weren't deemed competent to be iron workers or over-the-road truck drivers or firefighters. And for purposes of here, they weren't deemed trustworthy enough to be on juries, not trustworthy enough to render unbiased judgment, at least when whites were involved in the case. What counsel argues here is that the 150-year road that we have traveled away from those stereotypical generalizations, a road that has not reached its end yet, a road that has been filled with potholes and speed bumps and detours, to be sure, a road that we have yet to travel, but that we ought to turn our back on where we have come, and on the basis of the stereotypical generalization that whites can't sit in judgment on blacks, render this verdict invalid. And not only the racial stereotypical generalization that whites can't sit in judgment on blacks, but that the only way to resolve this is to embody the reverse stereotypical generalization, that the only way to balance that out is to put some blacks on the jury, to require a specific number of blacks on a jury who can be trusted to balance out the bias against blacks with a bias in favor of blacks. Your Honor, we have come too far for that. This is not a Batson case. There is no suggestion that the jury was not selected properly. There is no suggestion that defendant below exercised any preemptory challenges at all, much less against any black jurors. This is not a statutory challenge to the Jury Selection and Service Act because, number one, there is no actual showing of what the jury was, but number two, there is no time or challenge as required under the Act. This is not a constitutional challenge because, again, there's no factual showing of exclusion and there's no factual showing of any activity to exclude. This is simply the fact that for appearance's sake, so that it looks fair, there must be a system imposed, a system which the legislature did not seek to impose, but this court should impose a procedure so that there are some blacks on the jury. As the court held in Edmondson, if those racial stereotypical actions are the price for the appearance of fairness, that price is too high for the Constitution. And if there are no questions, I request that this court affirm the verdict below.
Thank you. You have one minute.
There must have been errors of 5-5. I'm totally taken.
Pardon me?
Was that 5 minutes for 5 minutes?
Yeah, but you used 9 minutes.
Oh, I'm
sorry. You have 10 minutes to use.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
We'll give you a couple extra minutes.
My opposing counsel said that I did not exercise any preemptory challenge, but the issue was that's totally not the issue. The pool that we had to choose the jurors from was all, virtually all white. That's not the issue. I'm not saying that a white cannot sit in judgment on blacks, or that blacks cannot sit in judgment on whites. That's totally not what I'm saying. I think I wrote my brief very clearly. The issue is the 8 men and women that we have that are all white. They are nice people, nice citizens, nothing, no blemish whatsoever. They will have been nice for a contract case, a criminal case, any other case, but not a case that pits a black versus a white. That's a fundamental issue. I don't think we need to come in here to debate that. An all-white jury is a flawed jury on a case pitting black versus white. That's the case. That's the issue here. My counsel comes in here, opposing counsel, and says, this is what it's been, this is what... Well, to some extent, you know, I like to think outside of the box for a change. Because maybe if we think outside of the box, this issue of emancipation, we can approach the ideal as quickly as we can. Rather than 150 years since we blacks were emancipated, and when we look on the street, we are still... Are we still free as black people? I often ask myself. These are profound issues, and I'm sorry we have to confront this, but these are real issues, and we are sworn on oath to do our jobs as human beings, as peoples of conscience. But I want to be very clear. I think I stand here in full confidence, in full right, saying this for the record, for eternity. Where a black man comes to this courthouse, a citizen of this country, comes to complain against a white person, repeats black versus white, it is very wrong for the government to assemble 8 white people to decide that issue. It will be equally wrong for the government to assemble 8 black people to decide that issue. No human being in this room, in all good conscience, must settle for that.
Your time is up.
Thank you.
All right, the case will be taken under advisement. The court will be in recess until tomorrow.